Blog Talk Radio.
They were astonished
beyond measure, saying, "He has done all things well. He makes both the deaf to hear and the mute to speak." In the book of Mark, Mark's gospel is unique. It is not a biography of Jesus like Matthew or Luke. It does not dwell on Jesus' family history. Instead, this gospel is a record of Jesus' actions and Jesus' achievements. It presents Jesus as a Savior King, conquers demons, disease, and death. The story takes place as Jesus is departing from the region of Tyre and Sidon. In the midst of the region of Decapolis to the Sea of Galilee. Now by this time, the name of Jesus has spread throughout the land. Some were calling him a prophet. Some called him the chosen one, even the Messiah. But whoever or wherever he traveled, people wanted to see Jesus. See, the people in the region were suffering, be it the poor, the sick, or the shut-in. I guess it reminds us of modern day, and everybody has something going on in their lives. Nowadays, in times of trials and tribulations, war over here, earthquake over here. You have catastrophes everywhere you look. You need Jesus. Some are just sick. And the doctor gives you medication for one thing, and it just causes a problem somewhere else. Some may even be just tired, worn down, feeble. You just can't get yourself together. The shut-in. Everybody has problems in their life, be it them or their loved ones. Everyone knows somebody who's going through some sort of trial, some sort of tribulation. But these people in the scripture had heard that Jesus was passing through. The scripture says, then they brought one who was deaf, teaching passing. Now the Bible doesn't say that this man was one of great stature or he was well known in the region. But the scripture does say that they brought the man to Jesus and begged the Lord, saying, put your hands on him now. See, these men or women, whoever they may have been, they believed. They had heard about the things that Jesus had did, and they believed. They believed in the power of Jesus. They were believers. They had faith in our Lord. Prayed and they begged Jesus, saying, just touch him, Lord. Just put your hands on him. Jesus looked at their faith and their belief in him. Isn't that what we as Christians long for today? We try and petition our Savior, hoping that he hears our prayer, hoping that he can just touch us, hoping that he can just smile upon us, hoping that he can just guide us out of the muck and the melee. The word says that Jesus took the man aside from the multitude and put his fingers in the man's ears and spat him and touched his tongue. Then he looked up towards heaven. The Bible says he sighed. He took a deep breath and said, "Be open." The word says, immediately, his ears were open, and the impediment of his tongue was loosed, and he spoke plainly. They were marveled. They were astonished. The Bible says, the word says, he has done all things well. He makes both the deaf to hear and the mute to speak. And when you sit back and you think about the goodness of the Lord and the land of the living, our heart has to rejoice. See, it makes me sit back and makes me think about all the time in our lives we didn't know how to fix the problem. It makes me think back all the time in our lives that we were falling short. It makes me think back about how many times in our lives we've been in a sick bed or a sick room. It makes me sit back and think about how many times in our lives for our loved ones. And we said, just touch them, Jesus. Just touch me, Lord. All I need is a touch from you, Savior. I know I'm a sinner, Lord, but I want to be a sinner saved by your grace. Touch me, Lord. Change my wrongs in my life. Make my wrongs right. All I need, Father God, is a touch. Just a touch from thee. See, we know we stand in the need of prayer, Father. When we call, we know you're there, see. Your hand down from heaven and pull us through. Touch us, Lord. For we can just touch the hem of your garment. We shall be made whole. If you touch us, Lord, we can live again. We can make everything all right again, Father God, with your unchanging hand. And see, that's with the deaf man, that's what the man with the impediment, he had to feel like going through life's ups and going through life's downs, the changes in his life every day as he struggled and as he suffered and as he tried to figure out what I'm going to do next. He knew all I needed was a touch from Jesus. Now, I don't know if the people went and got the man or the man pleaded, just take me to Jesus. Because I know if they take me to Jesus, everything is going to be all right. I heard about a man that can do all things. I've heard about a man that can help anybody. And that's what we need to do today. Although we may be falling short, Father God, although we may be doing the wrong things right now, Father God, all I need is a touch, Lord, from you. Stumbling with fall, we know that you can wash away our sins, Lord, and make us whole again. All we need, Father God, is a touch from you, Jesus. We know you can do all things but fail. And when we have to sit back and think about the pressures that we go through in life, Father God, we know it can get overwhelming. the Bible says, you were wounded for our transgressions. You were bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon you. And with your stripes, Jesus, we are healed. And see, that just makes me want to break it down just a little bit. Although we go through changes in life, although we have pressures on us all the time in life, Jesus dealt with his own pressures. Jesus dealt with his own trials. Jesus dealt with his own tribulations. You see, that in the Bible it says that Jesus went to the garden. Jesus went to the garden of Gethsemane with Peter, James, and John, and he told them, just watch as I pray. And Jesus knew, although he was healing this one and feeding this multitude and walking on water, he came for a reason. He came to pay the price. Jesus knew what he had to do in life, and the child and the tribulations and the pressure of it all. The Bible says Jesus got down in the garden on bended knees. They said the sweat was coming from his brow. It was like blood. It was like blood. It was spreading so much, the pressures of dealing with what he had to face. And I sit back and I think about it. All those prayers that Jesus sent up to Father God, but he said, let thy will be done, Father God. Not my will, let thy will be done. And when he got up, he knew what he was about to face. They took our Savior and they set him up and they chastised him. They whipped him until flesh fell from his bones. They sit back there and they chastised him. They put thorns on his head. They put a tree on his back and they walked him up down Golgotha's hill. The tribulations of life that Jesus had to face. But he knew he came for a reason. And when they got him up on the hill and they stretched him wide and they hung him and they hung him on the cross, Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. Not some men, all men unto me. That's what he came for. And he gave up the ghost just so you and I can have a right to the tree of life. So now, when we get down on bended knees, I can say in confidence, Lord, I thank you for everything that you've done for me. Father God, I thank you for making my wrong, Father God. I thank you for making my time just to roll on a little while longer. Although my hearing might not be well, although my speech may not be too well, you know I have a God that sits high and looks low, and he can do all things but fail. Thank you, Father God, for making my stumbling blocks my stepping stones. Thank you, Father God, for everything that you've done for me. That's all we have to do. Give God the praise. Give God the honor. He can do all things in the same way that he healed this man is the same way he can heal us. Everything was for a purpose. The Bible does not say the man's name. He does not give what stature this man was. This man could have been you. This man could have been I. That just lets me know that God has no respectable thing. He can help anybody. All you got to do is call on our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He can bring you through. He can make everything all right. Yes, the Bible says weeping may endure for a night, but joy, great joy, comes in the morning. All we got to say is text me, Father God.
Test me just a little bit more, Father. I need you in my life. The Bible says he'll never leave you nor forsake you. He will never leave you. Nobody forsake you. He'll be there every day. 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast all your cares on him because he cares for you. See, there's power in the name of Jesus. Regardless of your struggles, regardless of your ups, regardless of your downs, there's power in the name of Jesus. Spirit of God gives us power. Power in the name of Jesus. All we have to do is call on him. Have faith in Jesus. When our problems come up in life, call on Jesus. Ask for just a little touch. Can't get right. Call on Jesus. Ask him. Just to text me, Father. When your loved one gets sick, call on Jesus. Ask, just take him, Father God. Just touch him. That name above every name. He's the light of the world, the King of kings, the Lord of lords. The way, the truth, and the life. Just ask, Father God, touch me, Lord. Touch me, Father. Touch me, Lord. I need you in my life, Lord. And Hebrews 4:16 says, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Jesus said, I am with you always, even till the end of the age. Trust in Jesus. Trust him. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Don't worry about your tomorrow. Cast your cares on him. Temptation overtake you. He won't let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. You may be struggling right now, but everything is going to be all right. Just ask for a little touch from Jesus. Although we may have stumbled and fell, he can wash away our sin. He can make us whole again. Just put your hand in his unchanging hand. Jesus can do all things in the Lord, and just ask for a little touch. I want to thank Apostle Mercer for the opportunity this morning for you to bless my soul just by talking about my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Oh, Lord, Father God, touch every soul under the sound of mine. Bring them closer to thee, Father God, for we need you in our life. Touch us, Lord, and we shall be touched. Keep us, Lord, and we shall be kept. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen. And amen again. Thank you, Jesus.
Your unchanging hand that will not waver. Even when I'm worried, weak, and worn out, filled with doubt about tomorrow. Cause I made so many mistakes, I mean I stumbled and failed. And I did not think I could ever be made over, cleaned up. But somehow I believe tonight. And if you put your healing hand on me, every one of my sins, every one of my sins,
Tamika.
Tamika, oh my goodness.
So you have a big family. And what grade are you in? You go to school?
I'm in fifth grade.
You go to the fifth grade? Well, you're smart enough to go. And what do you learn in school?
I learn stuff about the moon. I learn stuff about the letter Q.
You learn about letters and Q. What about those ABCs?
A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P.
Uh-huh.
Q, Q, R, F, C, U, V, W, X, I, M, V.
Uh-huh. Numbers to 20. Can we have some numbers?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20.
Woo! Well, you heard it. You heard it for yourself, the little teeny soldier himself. We love the Lord. And his name is Ronnie. What, Ronnie the Third?
Ronnie the Third.
He's 4 years old. We call him the miracle baby because when he was born, he came early, and they wanted to make sure that his heart was great and that he could be born in the world, and he came out, and he is so tall. You're such a genius. You're a smart fella. I'm so proud of my little grandson. I just love it. We got to sing This Little Light of Mine one more time, okay?
This little light of mine.
Wow, go ahead.
This little light of mine.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine.
Woo-hoo. What about Yes, Jesus Love Me? One more time.
Yes, Jesus Love Me because the Bible tells me so.
Woo-hoo. I tell you, God is so good. You did so good. You're a genius. I'm so proud of you. You get a pizza. Yes, you get a pizza for being such a smart boy. Yes, when my grandson was born, that he came 2 to 3 months early, and they was monitoring his heart, and that we thank God that his heart was strong enough that he was able to be born as well as his mom was okay. And that, believe it or not, all that voice that you just heard, he had a problem with choking, that most of the time he eat his food, he would choke. And he's done that for all 4 years of his life. So finally, he's able to swallow food and able to digest his food. God is so good. Say, yes, God is good.
Yes, God is good.
Say, I love Jesus.
I love Jesus.
You love him. What? Does he make you feel better?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Okay, well, tell everybody bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, well, go ahead on in there. You know, it's so very nice. I remember as a little girl myself. Here, you want to play with this right now? Here, you want to write me something, draw me a pretty picture?
Mm-hmm.
I remember as a young girl myself, when I was coming up, my mom would always teach me This Little Light of Mine. She would always give me all of those songs to sing. And when I was a little kid, I could not wait to sing a song and go to the church. The Bible always say that, here, sweetie pie, the Bible always say that you're supposed to train up a child the way you want them to go. I started out in ministry. Not too loud, okay, so they can hear me, okay? Here. I started out in ministry. I had two kids. I had two little children came to my house. One was 2 years old. I think another one was maybe 3 years old. And they asked me, is it church yet? They asked me, is it church yet? And one had a bottle. The other one had a little diaper on. And they would just want to have a church. From two kids, I had 30 children that would come to my house. That's how I started out in youth ministry. And from there, that people would donate cars and vans so I could take them somewhere. And they could also, they would give us little treats to go to McDonald's. And from there, people was given buildings. I think I was given about 4 church buildings for my church ministry. The last building I had, okay, quiet, I can talk, okay? The last building I had, I think it to hold maybe about 1,000 people. And the building was $350,000. An owner of the church building, he was so impressed that the children wanted to come to church that he gave me one of his little TBN churches. And this one was beautiful. It had chandeliers, red carpet. It had beautiful walls, the great parking lot. And the church itself was $350,000. From there, we moved to another building, which was $500,000. So I truly, God was so good that we started out as youth ministry, and the community just supported all the youth. And it grew from a children's church to a church, and we was able to extend the building to other ones that was interested in having church services. Today, that same church that started out as a children's church is one of the main churches in the community, and a lot of people go there. So it doesn't matter. You know, the testimony is that when you do things from your heart, even with little children, and treat them special, look how God blessed. He gave us a sponsor that let us use multi buildings, very costly buildings for the children. He was able to sponsor a computer school for the kids, and from there they opened up a school. It all started with just the children ministry. And telling you, that has been a most rewarding experience. Okay, take this over there. Yeah. So I wanted to bring my grandson on because he is a miracle from God. He was able to here, take this here and write mommy and daddy a beautiful letter. I'll be in here a minute, okay? He's such a genius, a smart fellow. And we were able to really just stretch out. I remember when I started my church, and because I was exposed to children ministry, I had to do a back-to-school prayer. We had 300 children that try to fit in a building that only holds 25. So we had to pray out in the street. We made one of the biggest prayer circles for kids before they went back to school. But I started out as a youth pastor, and from there was able to help others in the ministry. So children ministry is so important. I never will forget God said to me, he said, if you can work with children, you can work with adults. And I could have never understood that. And one day God showed me that adults act just like children. Yes, we do. Adults act just like children. We have our temperament. We have our mood swing. We don't like to share. We want to fight. We playful. We busy. So, you know, children ministry is so very important. And God even told his disciples to don't stop the kids from coming to the services, hear him preach, and that he said, forbid them not, because they are so important. They are the next generation. So I thank God for my grandson, because as I said, he came 2 to 3 months early. He didn't have a full-term pregnancy in his mother's womb, and that he had a problem on swallowing. He choked all the time. Milk, food, anything that he had, and God just fixed it that he was able to breathe, he's able to eat normally, and he's growing up to be a tall little fine fella. And he loved to sing his Jesus song. He makes up songs all the time about Jesus. And I said, where your Jesus at? And he'll rub his little neck because he knew that's where God healed him at. So God bless you. Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. We're starting out on something really good today. We had a good word from Reverend Ray Lucas. As I try to encourage you, great and small, no matter what the age of the children, that they are always special to the Lord, and God love us all. You just have to stay encouraged and to know that your God can do anything but fail. I made a special song on Friday that people seem like they really, really enjoyed it. So I want to play that this morning as well. We are going to sit back now, relax, and enjoy our broadcast that we play. Sometimes on Friday night, I like to have, as I call, my little concert. And today I just want to reverence and praise God as I spend time with my grandson. Remember, spend time with loved ones, with your sister, your brother, little grandkids, your parents. Family is so very, very important. So you want to fellowship a lot with your family. I think he's coming back. Did you want to say something? Can you give us a prayer before we leave? You want to pray to Jesus before we go? Okay. Come, let's hear. How do you bless your food first? Okay, tell us the prayer you say for your food, Sid. Go ahead.
God is good. Let us thank you for this food. Amen.
Say it again.
God is good. Let us thank you for this food. Amen.
Amen. So let us pray for the little children. Let's ask Jesus to bless the little children. Go ahead and pray for them.
God is good.
Say, God.
God.
Bless the little children.
Bless the little children.
Bless the teachers.
Bless the teachers.
Bless them in school.
Bless them in school.
Help them to be safe.
Help them to be safe.
Help them to be healthy.
Help them to be healthy.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen and amen. God bless you. All right, we're going to. He wanted to come back and say one more thing. He's just like his nana. He have no shame in his game. What is it now? What you want to say now? You just taking over this radio. Go ahead. What you want to say? Say, I love you.
I love you, too. God is great.
God is great. Okay. He say, he love you, too. God is great. So let us just sit back, relax. As we abase ourselves, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. We're having a good time in the Lord. Uh-oh, he's feeling silly right now. You're listening to the Fivefold Ministry broadcast. I'm your host, Apostle Margie Mercer. I am here with my little grandson this morning talking about Jesus, yes. And we just heard Reverend Ray Lucas. Do listen to us now. Monday through Friday from 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock, we have awesome speakers from around the world. We will be bringing in those from Pakistan and also Jamaica. And then we will have, like I said, on Sundays, we have different speakers as well. So God bless you. We're going to sit back and listen to our broadcast that was made for us on Friday. God bless you. I love listening to different music. Amen. This is a song that my mom loved. My mom loved this song. God bless you.
Thank you. thank I'm able, a merciful Father. Here we are. It's been a long, long time to come in. But I know yes, God bless you as you listen to a change is going to come. Yes, we got to believe it so we can receive it. We just heard from Bryant and Thomas Owens. And God bless you again. You're listening to the Fivefold Ministry broadcast. We want you to sit back, relax, and enjoy the worship and praise. And let us just abase ourselves together. God bless you. As we play some of the favorite songs in hymn, let us put a smile on our face, because we heard from Apostle Lockley yesterday that he said that laughter is good for the soul, and we should smile more rather than frown. God bless you. Let us listen to Gladys Knight in the Pit. Amen. Whenever I hear that song, I think of my mom, because truly, she was the wind beneath my wings. God knows I love her. That is my Gladys Knight. And the pitch, it says hero. God bless you again as you listen to the music that we play this evening. This is our disclaimer that the music belongs to the artist, and we are here to promote those sounds and encourage you to buy those CDs. God bless you again as we sit back and relax and enjoy. You're listening to the Fivefold Ministry broadcast. Amen. I'm
Love that song so very much. She is so talented, Yolanda Adams. Yes, Yolanda Adams sung one of the prettiest songs, and that she said that we have to go, we have to believe, and we have to trust God. God bless you again. You're listening to the Fivefold Ministry Broadcast. I'm your host, Apostle Margie Mercer. My sinuses are not the great today, but I'll say it again. This is the Fivefold Ministry Broadcast. I'm Apostle Margie Mercer. I want to give a special shout-out to our Fellowship Bishop in Jamaica. God bless you, Apostle Mears. He touched base with us 7 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time here in the United States. And he wanted to give us a prayer as well as an encouraging word. You know, when you listen to the different speakers, and we thank God for Reverend Gray, how he has started us out, and for my little grandbaby that loved to sing the Lord, to sing praises to the Lord. We thank God for Trey and all the little children. And, you know, we have to come to God as a child. And when you look at Matthew's chapter 18, verses 6 and you look at Matthew's 18, 6 and 7, also Matthew's chapter 18, verses 21 to 22, Matthew's chapter 18, verses 21 to 22, and Mark chapter 9, verses 42. Again, that's Mark chapter 9, verses 42. We have to come to God as a child, with a child's heart, with a child's attitude, and with a child's belief. You know, a child is pure in the things of God. They haven't lived all those years and committed the sins that some of us have committed. And we have polluted ourselves that God is not able to sometimes get the best from us. And one of the things that God put in my heart and that he wanted us to really look at is that we need to always forgive. Don't you know when you can forgive, you can forget? When you can forgive, that situation will just vanish and it is further from your mind. When you look at how even God, you know, as I said, started me out in the ministry with children, and that he said that adults act just like children. You know, we get mad, we get upset, we have grudges, we have attitudes, we pout. But when we can get to a place, when God even told his disciples that we need to look at the offenses that people have done to us, look at the things that have disturbed us, and look at things that bother us, and that when we can forgive those very ones for what they did. You know, it's so very profound. You know why? Because when you forgive, that heart is a forgiving heart. That heart will produce more love, and that heart will open up in the things of God. The mercy seat will come in, long-suffering, and all those things that you need to make you a better Christian will come into play when you have a change of mind, when you have a change of heart, when you have a change of attitude. Yes, that we should always forgive, because even when people have done things to us, the scripture even says in chapter 17, verse 2, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged around his neck and he cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. God loved his little children. God loved his creation. God loves you and me. God loves all of us. But when you deliberately try to offend, lame, hurt, tear down reputation, character, talk about condemnation, even critique others unfairly, not according to the gospel of Jesus, that you have offended not only that person, but you have offended God. God wake you up each and every day in the land of the living. That God wakes you up so that you can enjoy the things that he has made. We can enjoy that air that we can breathe without a COVID mask on our face. That we can enjoy looking at the sunshine, the seasons. We can smell fresh air. It is better than a ruby and a diamond when you can just enjoy breathing and waking up in the land of the living and having another day to be the best that you can and to believe in yourself and to walk worthy of the call of being a Christian. Yes, you're going to have people that will try to tear you down, try to destroy you, try to embarrass you. Yes, you're going to have those that may try to ridicule you, but you got to go on because you're made in the image of God. You have a commission by God. You have the favor of God, and you have a purpose in God that you're going to live out your days according to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Be the best that you can be so that you can have eternal life and dwell, live in his kingdom. Beloved, God loves you very much. He made it possible, even for man through technology, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, all of those avenues, satellite, so that not only can you hear the good news, the coming of the Lord, that he will be back and that he will crack open the sky and give us an opportunity to, you know, to live in eternity, that we are so very fortunate that if when you said, God, come into my heart, your heart will open up and you could feel the presence of God. You could feel that Holy Spirit that he left behind that will comfort you, that will cover you, saturate you, engulf you, just feel you afresh and anew. There's nothing like it, beloved. You know, Yolanda Adams sung this song, Still, and hopefully you could hear it because our microphones are not the best right now. But when we are all gathered together in one place or one accord, that God will open up our heart, our understanding, our mind, that we can hear in the spiritual realm the things that God wants us to hear. Hey, hallelujah, that you are special and that you need to forgive. Yes, people mouths always run their mouths all the time. Sometimes people don't never have nothing good to say. They try to tear down how you look, how you dress, how you act, the color of your skin, your hair, your nails, your race, your denomination, your culture, your location, even the group of people, your ancestors. But, you know, thank God for God. We don't live for people, that we live for God, that God find us beautiful, that God's salvation is free. We don't have to pay for it. We have to accept Jesus, that he died on the cross for us, and that we are beautiful. We could come in any shape, any size, any color, any age, any denomination, that we are privileged as believers in the gospel of Jesus Christ, that he is our redeemer and we are accepted. You know, sometimes I watch these TV shows, and I watch, you have to belong to a certain club, a certain organization, association, so that you could be accepted or to be recognized. And it's nothing wrong with belonging to groups, to fellowship together and just have a good time or step or to wear certain colors and just say that we are of this organization. Especially if you're doing good for the community, for yourself, for your organization. But when you run into a particular cult or clique where you can't come in unless you have so much money, or you live in a certain location, or you with a certain group of people that in a denomination where is a lot of prejudice and hate, it's foul mouth, and they hate their brothers, then you know you're in the wrong organization. That regardless of this situation, that we're supposed to have a pure heart, pure unto God. That when others who have rejected us, who have made us feel less than, or those who have offended us, that we need to forgive them. Because that millstone is going to hang around their neck unless they change, repent, and apologize to you. You know, nobody is perfect but Jesus. We all have offended sometimes. You know, you look at the teachers in the classrooms, and the kids sometimes get smart or try to embarrass or shame them. They are there not only to earn a living, but to teach them things that can help them grow, get that job, go to college, and get to the next level. But some people feel as though it makes them popular to shame them or degrade them. It's very sad when you with a group of folks and that all they know how to do is to tear down, run their mouth, critique and criticize others. But when you look at them themselves, it's amazing to me. You know, I look at sometimes some people who are rude and nasty and how they talk about other people. And they're not the most attractive person in the world. They are, for lack of a better word, they are not good looking. But then they'll talk about somebody else's hair or complexion or denomination or their location where they live. And they'll talk about them as though that God has made them so beautiful and made everything in their life beautiful, you know, that they can't see beyond their arrogance that God loves us all, that we are all unique in God. You know, I look at the different denominations that I see and I work with, that people are so special and talented. I was just watching a documentary, how paper can be molded and shaped into so many beautiful things. You look at a paper towel, you will never think that you could roll up that paper towel in such a way that it's a beautiful rose, a beautiful white fluffy little rose or flower. And some people spray it with color, that everything has a purpose and everything can be made beautiful. See the uniqueness, hey, inside of it. Someone saw more use than a paper towel, wiping hands or blowing your nose. They saw a paper towel that it could be used for art. When you have those type of eyes or mindset that you are above the lower level thinking of some people, that you are unique. You know, I love watching some of these documentaries, and I like looking at TikTok, especially this lady named Phyllis, who lives in China, that she has adapted to that culture. She understands the different dynamics of how they cook, they speak, how things operate in a foreign land. And she embraced it in such a way that she's able to speak the language and fellowship with the people that now, even though she's from Africa and that she lives in China, she's widely accepted. Excuse me. And thousands watch her weekly. That she's so unique. And she just smiles and just shows so much respect for the elders, so much respect for the nations of people. You know, it brought me to think today, when I went to Ukraine and Kyiv in Russia, from the elders, I was embraced into their country. I was able to fellowship with them. And I really wanted to keep Russia as my missionary spot for my journeys in the Lord, that I could really break bread and help them to another level. And I think about just in 2001, 20 years later, that here there's war and rumors of war, that Russia is fighting against Ukraine and Kyiv. And that here the same group of people that's over in that area fighting, and they have destroyed so many special things about the nation of people, not only their spirit, but they were able to destroy the monuments. And the funniest thing is, when you look at all that chaos, there's one or two elders will say, forgive them. One or two little people, little children, that will give them a hug and show them forgiveness, the soldiers that's coming into their country to fight. I saw an elderly man on the news that he actually stood in front of one of the trucks and one of the missile-type machines, and he said, please don't come into our country to blow us up. We want peace. You know, it's amazing that you can have someone to stand in front of a tank and talk peace and forgiveness and take a chance on being killed right there on the spot. And yet we as human beings see people every day, and we can't stand and say, I'm sorry or beg pardon, call them on the phone or reach out on internet and say, forgive me for the things that I have done to you. Because you will reap what you sow. One thing about it, that God give us an opportunity, that we should always forgive. We should always show love and beg pardon. And he said to his disciple that we should take heed to ourselves, that if we have hurt others, if we have rebuked others, if we have condemned others, if we have misjudged others, if we are lying on others and pointing our fingers at others, together, life is not promised to us daily, that each and every day we don't know the hour, the minute, the date, when God would call us home to the grave or into eternal life, that we want to be the best that we can be as human beings. That even the Bible says that when we have hurt others, that even seven times a day, seven times we need to repent and ask God for forgiveness. But the biggest thing, we need to go to that person and ask for forgiveness. When you increase your faith in the Word of God, when you can be still, like Yolanda Adams said, and hear what the Lord is saying to you, when you can be receptive and you open up your heart and you ask the Holy Spirit to come and dwell inside of you, you can feel the outpouring of God. Don't you know that if you ask God to show up, to come into your heart, if you say, if you're God, touch me, that he will. You will feel the warmth. You will feel the acceptance and the love. You will feel his presence. He's the same today as yesterday. God hasn't changed. That God want us to believe on him. I know it may be hard. You know, I was growing up, it was hard for me to accept Christ, God, the Holy Spirit, all of it, because I couldn't see it. And I got to a point in my life that I heard so much about salvation and being a Christian that the first thing I had to do was forgive myself. I had to forgive me for all the things that I have condemned myself for, or made victim to, or fell prey to, that I have to say that I needed a change in my life, that I asked God to come in my heart to forgive me of those things, and that God would come and sup with me. By doing that, that increased my faith. That increased my relationship with God, and that gave me the power to receive that inward dwelling of the Holy Spirit. All I had was a little teeny grain of a mustard seed of faith. It was no bigger than just like an eraser on a pencil that I said, if you be God, come into my heart. And God did that very thing. He came in my heart. I felt all of that sadness, all of that pain, all of that hurt. It was just like a cry, how you cry, and that release. Hey, hallelujah. It released out of my soul. I knew that I had got a touch, that God was with me. I felt his presence in a room. I felt his presence come in my heart, and I felt his presence in my life. And God is so good, because when that happened to me and I wept and I asked forgiveness, I repented, and I felt really bad, because I thought about it. I said, I didn't wake myself up this morning, and I sure can wake myself up tomorrow, that there is a greater power than myself. Each day that I live, I said, God, help me be a better person, that I want to walk in love and forgiveness with people. I want to change. And I haven't been perfect along the way, but I didn't quit. I didn't quit in my faith to know that God can do anything but fail. If God can't do it, it can't be done. Just like I be struggling now. Over the last 6 months, I've been going through transitions and moving things around, especially for this radio broadcast. And God has been so faithful. He has sent different ones that have spoke from their heart, is teaching from their heart. They pouring out from their heart. They didn't ask me why I'm not doing it or what is the problem. You hear teachers all the time. You hear Reverend Leroy Rice. You hear his wife sing beautiful sermonic hymns, Mrs. Rice. You hear from the apostle himself, Alexander Lockamy. You heard from Apostle Mays. And you hear from Reverend Rice as well as Minister Gray. It's so many of those who have rolled up their sleeves like Jamaica. They are coming on the air now. That's my fellowship bishop who's a part of the Fivefold Ministry, that they reached out to us and they want to be a part because they know that I'm carrying something right now. I'm in transition and I need to help. And they're stepping up to the plate and say, I'll help you. I preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thing I felt godly sorrow. I had to forgive myself because I'm not on point like I was supposed to be. But my dad explained it to me. He said, you know, because you want to work for the Lord, you're under attack, that your radio, your stereo, or your electronics may not work, but you go ahead and open your mouth and preach the gospel anyhow. It's not all about how you love your praise and worship. It's about the word. And the word is the praise to God. Hey, hallelujah. Good God, Mike. I feel all right. So I went by faith, and I thank God that I'm getting calls from around the nations that say, look, we'll help you carry that burden. So we thank God for that. That once I, like I said, I had to forgive myself because I like to do an excellent work for the Lord, for even myself. But then, you know, you got the critics, you got the critiquers, you got those when they judge and line you up. But then when you ask, what are you doing? What have you done today, last week? What are you doing in your ministry work? What are some of the accomplishments that you can feel good about for the Lord? You know, they don't have much to say, but then they can look at you when it's your time that sometimes you cannot give it your best. But the best is when you don't quit. Hey, hallelujah. So I thank God that one of the things that he said, we have to forgive folks like that who don't push us forward, who don't encourage us, who want to condemn and judge us, that we're on a whole nother level, that we can see the use of a paper towel, the beauty of the art, that we can see the beauty of everything that God has made on this earth. So I would leave a thought with you today. We have to forgive folks of their shortcomings, those that may not see the good that you're trying to do or hear the good that you're trying to say, or even recognize that you're on a journey for the Lord. There are attacks. There are attacks. There are attacks. But you have to stay firm, stay planted, and keep the faith of a grain of a mustard seed. That you got to forgive those folks and forgive yourself, that guess what? You're going to have victory in the end. That you will have the power. So as you go out today, give somebody a hug. Don't turn down the cheek. Just give them a hug. Say something kind. Take them a dinner. Go invite them out to maybe have a meal. You know, send a postcard if you got too much pride to call up and say you're sorry. Just show that you have repented of those ill-mannered, ill-spoken, and ill that you have done to other people that God is not pleased. That we got to get all this right before we leave this world. And you got to remember that God's kingdom is inside of you. And that he is watching everything we do and everything he says. And we want him to be pleased that he can forgive us, because we have forgiven others, that the light and the favor and the grace of God can come inside of us as his disciples. Yes, we are. You know, we're not going to be like those that you watching here on TV talk about a person, what they did at night, or talk about the ministry, or talk about their false prophet or false teacher or false pastor, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It was so sad that I saw a leader that's really versed in the word of God, that's really smart and understand it very well. But then that Antichrist, they don't even realize it, a spirit, a demonic force took over them, and they even growl when they talk and real rough and mean about God's people. even about the very ones that were sitting right there in the audience listening to them, just turn them up and down. And it went so far to even talk about a dress, a piece of material. If you got on pink, then you must be gay and you are homosexual. God forbid. God have pink in the rainbows. He has pink roses. He has pink in colors itself in art. But we have become so narrow-minded that we are now destroying each other in the body of Christ, and we're turning each other up. All because, as one pastor said, because a man wore pink. God forbid, a color. Mm-mm. You got to forgive. You got to pray for them. And you got to push them forward. I pray that God will save this soul, deliver them, and the Holy Ghost will take over. We don't have time in these last days to be negative, to be doubtful, to be mean, and to show evil. Hey, we got to walk in love, and we got to forgive. So that was a little tidbit that I wanted to give you today and ask for you to be patient with us. We're still trying to, with our broadcast, we're trying to do some things, and hopefully the microphones and the systems and the recordings will be better. But in the meantime, keep us in prayer to know that we too are not perfect. Walk in love and keep the eyes of Christ. Don't you know when you have the mind of Christ that you can see things differently? When you have the mind of Christ, that you can see the beauty of the Lord and his holiness. You can see the richness of everything that he has made and ever will make that is beautiful, including the creation of his saints. We just got to pray for them in their shortcoming. When you have the eyes of God, you can see the good and not the bad. You can see the mercy and the grace that's needed for that brethren. And things will come out your mouth that will exalt, edify, and encourage. And you will forgive any one of their shortcomings. So we got to treat others the way we want to be treated and speak to others the way we want to be spoken to. I know this is elementary, Watson, but I'm just saying to you, we got to get it together. Today is a new day. A day is a day we haven't seen. A day is a day of love and fellowship. And we want to serve God with all our hearts. And we as human beings, we want to share this life with other believers and those who are not. And let them see the glory of the Lord in our life. Exalt, edify, and encourage. Teach others who may not understand the gospel of Jesus Christ. And live holy to the scriptures. And when you fall short, forgive yourself and ask God to help you on your journey, because we are made human, so therefore we are weakened in the flesh. But thank God for the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, that our weakness is made strong through that blood of Calvary. Hey, hallelujah. So God bless you again. As I said, as you listen to that 5-4 ministry broadcast, Monday through Fridays, you're not going to always hear me. You're going to hear our other speakers. That we want you just to encourage, to edify and exalt. We want you to build each other up and to fellowship with us as believers. Yes, God bless you. Know that you are special and your God can do anything but fail. Give someone a hug today. Hug yourself. Look in the mirror. Smile at yourself. Be glad that you're in the land of the living. And don't take nothing for granted. Come to God as a little child. So God, here am I. And let this little light shine. As my grandson said, this little light of mine, I'm going to make it shine. Make it shine, folks, that we are and forever will be the believers of Jesus Christ. And we will stand up, beloved. Remember now, if God can't do it, it can't be done. So forgive and start out by forgiving yourself and loving yourself. Cleanse your soul and cleanse anything that's not right according to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Be blessed today. and be encouraged, and God bless you. Amen.
In the presence of my